bigger than you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chaotic Music Meetings. Welcome back, Nitu Da.
Hello.
This is CITR 101.9 FM, and we are having a great time already.
And we're broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people.
Yes. Thank you for doing that landing knowledge, yes. Nitu.
Always important.
I feel like I've gotten into the habit lately of just, like, I say that the same way every time on my show. And I learned a very particular way of saying it because I knew that I had to learn it and had to say it on every show. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that. Like, I wanted to say it very succinctly and to say it with the proper pronunciation. Mm-hmm. It was very important to me to learn. So, but I have done it the same way every time. Mm-hmm. And I think it just gets a little bit repetitive, and I think it could be done a little differently, or we could be doing a bit more to actually, like, acknowledge what that means to us. So if you don't mind, I would like to take a moment about what that means to me. I do a land acknowledgement personally because, in one way I like to address my fellow, like, non-Indigenous citizens of this land. Other privileged people who, like myself, who I think need to hear examples of the continued attempt to show respect to the Musqueam people, the people whose land we're working on. I think of it mainly as for, like, other non-Indigenous people to sort of spread awareness. And I almost want to apologize to the Musqueam people who have to hear these attempts over and over again, and Indigenous people everywhere who constantly have to hear our, like, awkward attempts to show respect.
Mm-hmm. I'm always unsure about how to go about it, how to approach the topic, the issue, the concern. I always do a land acknowledgement on my show, too, of course. Mm-hmm. Though I also feel like it's always repetitive because I always do, like, this little introduction, a little kind of cliche that I have to my show. I don't think that's the word. I have, like, this specific introduction that's specific to my show, and incorporated it in it is a land acknowledgement, and it's always the same.
Right.
Because I don't know how else to phrase it. And if I was to kind of go on about the Musqueam and Coast Salish people and this land acknowledgement, I feel like the whole show might end up being that. And a whole show could be devoted to that. I've yet to do that. And it always comes to mind. Mm. But I feel like my show is something. It's about social observations. And definitely Indigenous issues could be social observations. But I feel like it's just a topic I'm not sure how to approach. Like, I'm always unsure about how to approach marginalized people, if that's... I'm not even sure if that's the right term to use to describe the situation. I'd rather kind of ask their viewpoint on it.
Mm-hmm.
Immanuel Kant wrote this essay called... what was it called? An answer to the question, what is enlightenment? And his answer was, enlightenment is to use your own knowledge and to be critically thinking, and to always use that, and not to rely on guardians, people who guide you through life, like teachers and doctors and whatnot, or even scholars. You have to think critically. But I think in this situation, I would like to rely on the people who are more familiar with this situation. I like to ask them, how would you like me to approach this? How can I be respectful to you, like the same way you would approach someone who's transgender or identifies as not being heterosexual?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you approach that? I don't want to assume. I want to be informed on how I can respect you in a way that you find is respecting.
Yeah, I struggle with that a lot, too, because when you're talking about, like, showing respect to certain groups of people, I mean, you kind of have to ask everyone as an individual how they, like, respect to be shown to them.
Yeah, and how do you even ask that? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's another kind of... I always try to do that. I always try to, like, ask, what are your preferred pronouns? How would you like me to address you? Like are nicknames allowed? Mm-hmm. Like, is that kind of a thing? But I find that... I'm not sure if they ever will feel... If they will ever feel uncomfortable with that question. Like, do they just want us to assume? Like, just call us Indigenous or... Aboriginal or by our specific names, the Musqueam or Coast Salish, mm-hmm. or would they like us to assume from the overall narrative, or would they like us to ask them, like, how do you want us to respect you?
And I think even then it comes down to, like, individuals, and everyone's going to have a different answer to that. So at some point, you do just sort of have to, like, make the awkward attempt to ask.
Definitely. I always go for the awkward.
Right.
Or what even too. I find awkward. Maybe they don't find it awkward at all. Maybe they're, like, filled with happiness that we're even asking them.
Hmm.
Though I don't know. It's like you said, it depends on the individual.
Yeah, it's always impossible to know until you actually have that conversation mm-hmm. with someone.
But it's definitely better to communicate than to not communicate at all.
I think so. I think it's important to try, to keep trying. And
I agree.
And that involves failing often. That was part of one of the ideas I had with this show was to, like, I was so nervous about the idea of hosting a show at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just do it and people will see me trying and failing over and over again.
At least they're seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's good enough. That's plenty.
Yeah. for those of you who don't know, Nitu Da also has a show on CITR.
Yes, I do.
Every second Thursday at 8 a.m. called Convictions and Contradictions, or CC.
Yes.
A really brilliant show.
Thank you very much for that.
Which plays exclusively instrumental music.
Yes, it does.
And is also a talk show.
Yes.
Where you talk about comedy and, like, social commentary.
Yeah, like, just social observation. Sometimes it's just me just talking about things that I observe, like seating issues or the great process of building furniture or other kind of, like, those are show titles. Other times I do interviews with people because I can't make all the observations in the world. There are observations other people can make that I can't make. So I do interviews. Like, I interviewed Miles Black quite extensively about his whole upbringing. I feel like I know Miles better than anybody else because I did four-hour interviews with Miles all about...
Well, they were four-hour interviews. They
yeah.
Four-hour.
There were four interviews that consisted of 4 hours each. I mean, 1 hour each. Okay, I could do this.
It was a lot, regardless.
Okay, let me say this correctly. It was four interviews. Each one consisted of about 1 hour.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So in... Overall, it was 4 hours.
Yeah, we did, I guess it was two different two-parters.
Yeah.
And this is now part two of your appearance on my show.
Right, yes. All about instrumental music this time.
Yeah.
And this time it's not all about you.
No.
Thank God. Was what it was about all on my show. It was all about you and how you grew up on an island, Gabriola, is that how you say it?
Gabriola, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I said it correctly. And about this amazing jacket that Miles has. And now I'm interviewed, because I just so much liked I've never really interviewed someone on the show before. I just really liked interviewing someone and getting to know, like, their observations. And now I'm interviewing someone else. I'm interviewing Dan Miller, who is a writer here at Discorder, and he actually wrote the article about my show in the last issue of Discorder, and he's from Saskatchewan, from Saskatoon, and I thought that it would be interesting to kind of compare the differences between British Columbia and Saskatchewan and kind of, like, the social differences that we grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite one was one that kind of just came out naturally. It wasn't, like, a specific question I asked him, but I kind of focused on it, was that a hoodie in Saskatchewan isn't called a hoodie. It's called a bunny hug.
Ooh.
And I thought that was, like, so cute and just, like, such a difference.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I feel like if you ask someone, like, what's something you learned growing up that, like, people here in British Columbia wouldn't know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a difficult question to answer because then you don't have really much to compare to. Like, you don't know that here in British Columbia we don't call that a buddy hug.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, an example he gave was that one of his friends was wearing, like, a hoodie or something. And he said, oh, what a nice bunny hug. And they're like, what does that, like, what? Well, I don't know what that means. Like, a bunny hug, like a hoodie.
Yeah.
And he was kind of telling that story. That's how I found out.
I love it because it's like a common phrase, mm-hmm. in that area because it's so cutesy.
Yeah.
And it's so very cutesy. Like it, you just imagine like a soft little bunny hugging, mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. That's
and what I love a great thing it. To spread around.
It's just such a cute term. I just love it.
Yeah. And you did quite a few interviews with Dan Miller.
I've done two so far. Unfortunately, I've had to cancel the last two shows because I was just feeling unwell and Dan, mm-hmm. wasn't able to make it to one of them. So they've been canceled recently. But I look forward to when we can finally continue that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to talking to him and getting to know the differences.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to see like your interview style like progress and change too. I feel like, I mean, you interviewing other people is quite a new thing for you still.
It is. It's something I'm slowly cultivating how to do. Like, I'm still not sure how to approach an interview. I always approach it as less of an interview, more of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I come up with, like, questions, like, what I like to do, and I always ask those questions. But as you ask those questions and the person gives an answer, you find other questions to ask. Like, there's different, like, pathways and routes you can take and what you can discuss about. So I always go off, I guess, off track from, like, the main template.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like that part because you don't know what's going to come out of it. And you can't, it's hard to come up with all the questions to cover everything. It just naturally comes out. Like, what I've always said is radio is spontaneous. And it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And an interview is similarly spontaneous.
I often write, like, 10 or 12 questions for, mm-hmm. guests in preparation, but then I don't usually actually ask those questions.
Oh.
It just sort of becomes a conversation, and maybe I'll refer to my questions every once, mm-hmm. in a while. But
I usually go by the questions, and then I just build off that. And I build off what the person says.
For example, I only have two questions written down for you today, and the rest I was just going to...
Is that a compliment?
No. I don't intend it to be an insult, but I put a lot of thought into what I wanted to talk to you about today, and
amounted into two questions.
Well, I really struggled to come up with questions because what I really wanted to do today was just have a conversation, mm-hmm. with you like we always do. So I'm hoping that, like, I've chosen some songs to play, mm-hmm. and there are some things that I would like to talk about in terms of, like, instrumental music. And I thought we could just sort of build the conversation around that. Shall I play a song?
Yes, let's hear a song.
Cool.
I feel like we haven't even focused on instrumental music so far.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about other things.
This is one of my all-time favorite artists, Laurie Anderson, who is, how do I even explain? Just an experimental electronic artist, a poet, a violinist, a storyteller. This is a live performance of a song called We've Got Four Big Clocks. And it's one of my all-time favorite songs. I would like to... because we were talking so much last time about, like, how instrumental music makes us feel, or the way that it sort of allows us space and time in our own head to think while, mm-hmm. the song is playing, maybe you could just listen to this song with me and think about, like, what is actually going through your head as you're listening to it, and then we'll talk about that after.
All right.
So this is Laurie Anderson with We've Got Four Big Clocks.
We've got four big clocks. And they're all ticking.
Mm-hmm. day, trans folks are targeted for verbal, sexual, and violent harassment, and trans women of color and folks with disabilities are targeted even more disproportionately. The trans community is 4 times more likely than their cis peers to experience suicidal thoughts. However, this violence is often forgotten and ignored by mainstream media. The Transgender Day of Remembrance happens annually on November 20th and is an opportunity to raise awareness and mourn the loss of trans folks all over the world.
British Columbia is in the middle of an electoral referendum. Throughout November, eligible voters will be asked to choose between the current system of first-past-the-post or one based on proportional representation.
But what is proportional representation? The name gives a lot away. These are systems that match the overall proportion of votes cast in the province to the proportion of elected MLAs. That is, a party that gets 30% of the votes gets 30% of the seats in the legislature.
To learn more about First Past the Post and the proportional representation systems, go to uvotebc.ca. If you haven't received your ballot, go to elections.bc.ca to find out how.
Hey, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and you just heard Laurie Anderson. Nitu, how are you feeling?
I feel like that song was really about our 4 big clocks. Like, she starts out by saying, I don't remember exactly what she says. My short-term memory isn't great, like many people. She said, we all have 4 great clocks.
4 big clocks.
Four big clocks. And I guess, when I was listening to the song, there was only like 4 instruments playing at a time. Though I could be wrong. And literally each one was like a clock. And I'm thinking like the metaphor is that we all have big clocks. There's one that's like always constant, and then there's others that like come in at different times. Maybe they sound the same, maybe they sound differently, and then at the end it just all kind of ended like death. To me it was something like that.
It's interesting that they all ended at once.
But
they didn't all start at once.
Yes, they started at different points.
What do you think of that sound? Actually, I'm not even quite sure what it is. That
I feel like that isn't... When I was thinking about it, I wasn't thinking of, like, an instrument it could be. I was thinking about, like, a common thing you might hear in, like, the day. Like, maybe, like, pulling two things up. Like, pulling, like, a rubber band apart and then letting it go. And then maybe it's, like, maybe it's, like, an accordion or, not a trumpet, but a trombone, maybe. Or... like, it sounded like some sort of squeaky sound. To me, it sounds like you're kind of, like, pulling something and it's being really resistant to you.
It reminds me of that balloon music we played last time by Judy Dunaway.
It did sound really
similar. Rubbery.
Like the rubber band. It sounds rubbery.
Yeah. I had a weird... The first time I heard that song, I had this weird, like... It made me see things. Like, I had this weird cinematic experience with it where I saw a train, like a sky train. And something about, like, the movement of the song and the speed of it, just I saw, like, trains going by over and over again. And it seems to have this, like, very, like, weirdly mechanical sound. And I also think of, like, just because it says we've got 4 big clocks and there are 4 chambers of the heart, I associated it with. But
I didn't know that fact.
Yeah. I have no idea if that's what the song is about in any way. But, it seems like a very, like, it reminds me of the fact that, like, everything is kind of biological and mechanical at the same time.
It could also be, I'm not sure about this, but are there like 4 lobes in the head? Or are there more than 4?
I don't know.
I think there's more than 4, actually. I think yours is probably more.
But
correct.
I think there are lots of parts of the body that could be sort of divided into 4 sections. And even like, as humans, like symmetrically, we all sort of have like 4 limbs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot you could decipher and, well, not decipher. There's a lot of ways you can interpret the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does the 4 o'clock mean?
Yeah.
Does it mean 4 states of mind, 4 places of, like, 4 stages in your life,
mm-hmm.
the 4 valves in your heart? Is it a metaphor for life, maybe love? Like, what does the clock represent?
Mm-hmm.
And how does the music represent it?
Mm-hmm. And how do those, if there are, it sounds to me like there are 4 musicians
playing
as well. Yeah,
there's
always sure.
4 playing.
But, yeah, and what is the significance of that, of 4 people yeah. playing together and synchronizing together?
I think it's about the 4 clocks in some way, but I'm not sure what. Of course, there's interpretations we can make, but we don't know what the musicians' intentions were.
Mm-hmm. But how did it, like, we've talked a lot about what it made us think of,
mm-hmm.
And sort of the associations we drew in our mind when it played, but how did it make you feel while listening to it?
How did it make me feel? It was a good feeling. I felt like I was, it's always hard to describe a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, there was always that kind of like constant music. And then I was always listening out for like when that trumpet would come back, where it would kind of go up and it was like that little part where it was kind of like a festival kind of a sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice feeling, but I feel like I can't describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking more and more lately about how difficult it is to describe emotions.
Mm-hmm. It felt like it felt like I was steady. Like it was like you were watching like a concert,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else is kind of excited, but you can't hear like they're screaming or shouting. It's like it's silent. You can only hear the music, and like they're kind of like blurred out, and you can see the stage, and you can see like. You didn't see people playing though. It's just like the instruments were moving on their own, and you're sitting. The other people are, like standing, but you can still see the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all cool. They're yelling and whatnot, but to you they're silent, and you only hear the music.
Right.
And it's not weird that you're not also standing up. Like you don't feel any stigma for like sitting down. Like when people if some people clap and start standing up, then suddenly everybody has to stand up. But of course, not everybody actually wants to stand up.
Yeah.
But you don't feel that stigma. It's just like you're listening to the music, and you're just kind of wrapped up in it that you don't care about the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that was kind of the experience I had with it.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's hard to explain why those people are silent, why don't I hear them, why don't I feel like I need to stand.
And yeah.
It's hard to describe that part.
Yeah, for sure, but thank you for that. I thought that was a very valid attempt.
That was my attempt.
Personally, I think it made me feel a weird mix of anxiety and calm, because I think I feel calm when people are expressing anxiety, just because they are expressing it, and I appreciate that. Like, it seems frantic. Like, it's a really kind of, like, there are lots of moving parts in it that sort of, like, keep on repeating unrelentingly.
It feels steady, yet... It feels fixed, but unfixed.
Mm-hmm.
Feels steady, yet moving. Mm-hmm. It feels active, yet inactive.
Yeah, and that's... Oh, that's so hard to describe.
Yes.
Let's play another one. Do you have anything that comes to mind, or should I play another one?
I have something in mind. We were talking about on the last show how some instrumental music isn't like entirely based on instruments or makeshift instruments, like the balloons, but also like sometimes there's vocals in part of it.
Right.
They're not really saying something. It's more like their vocals are just making sounds to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the comparison that I made is that I listen to a lot of anime music, so a lot of like Japanese kind of music, and I have no idea what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
To me, their voice is like a vocal. It's like another instrument to the song. Sometimes I like to find out like what they're saying, and then I sing along to them. Well, they're singing like in Japanese, I would sing along in English, and it's just a nice kind of feeling, like a little nice kind of connection, like a like you're playing out the emphasis and the meaning of the song in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's interesting how that works. And I feel like it is instrumental in the way that I listen to it and view it and think about it. But at the same time, I feel like it's kind of might be an insult to call it instrumental because there's still a voice and they are saying something. Mm. But because I don't know the language, to me, it becomes instrumental when I don't know it.
No, that's an interesting distinction. I mean,
because they are saying something. It is a song. I just don't know what it is unless I figure it out.
Yeah, and what you have to work with is your perception of this
music. Like I usually just first listen to it as just like the song itself, unless I'm paying attention to like I watch it from the anime, so they always have like sometimes they have the subtitles for the song and then you kind of like sing along.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I just like listening to it because I just love the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the sound of the voice and how it incorporates into the music, and sometimes you can just kind of tell what the song's about.
Mm.
From how they're singing and just how they're singing and how it sounds, you can kind of get a vibe as to what it's about. Like when you hear like an instrumental tune, you can tell like this song is like an uplifting song or a sad song, that kind of a thing. You can kind of tell by the voice.
Yeah. And I feel like I never really understand lyrics, like, or even when I think I do, I could bring the meaning that I got from it and bring it to the artist, and they could say, oh, that wasn't it at all.
Yeah.
That's not so important to me as, like, just the, like, emotional thrill of, like, physical sound.
Yeah.
Of the intonation of a person's voice.
Yeah.
And the expressiveness of their
singing.
That's
why I like instrumental music so much better than, like, music, or how should I, music with the words to it.
Yeah.
Because I like the emotions around it. I like the feeling I get from music. Like, different songs make me feel differently, and I play them according to that sometimes. Like, the way how do I want to feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
What do I feel like I need to have right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I play them according to that sometimes.
So what's this track that you have?
This track is from, I played it earlier for you, it's from an anime called Black Clover. Mm. It's the first opening song, and you have to listen to it first, and then we'll have the conversation about it.
Let's do it.
Okay. You can edit this out.
Okay. Here, let's try it again.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
So what? How do you feel about the song?
Oh, that I find that really satisfying. I love that kind of like, I don't know what genre to call it, but
neither do I.
Except like pop rock, but I love when the musicians are so like tightly synchronized, and they add in all these little like stops. Mm-hmm. Where they like quickly stop and have a little breath and then like dive back into mm-hmm. it. Something about that. And they do it at like just before the beat, or they do it at sort of odd times that you don't always expect. And I love that little gasp.
I don't think I quite caught on to that, because you play guitar. You're more familiar with music. I didn't catch on to that at all. Mm. I just love the feeling of yeah. the song. It's just so powerful. The way they sing it, it just feels so powerful to me and so uplifting. And it's not like a song like that's like in your face. It's not like you get up and do something like, or excuse my language, but like get the fuck up. It's not like that. It's more like you can do this mm-hmm. kind of a song. It's just, I like the part where there's so many parts of the song that I like, which is just, it like kind of like triggers something. Like it's like a sudden impulse that just kind of happens, like a chill up your spine, but really, but a really nice kind of chill.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one part where they're singing and they're like really going at it, but then the music stops. And then he's just, but there's still a little something there. Yeah. And he's just kind of like belting it out.
Yeah.
It's like whenever I listen to this song, I always want to kind of sing along, because I feel like this is a song that I just feel like I need to sing along. But when I sing along, then I feel like I don't get the same feeling from it. I just need to hear them and just be like the feeling of it is like I'm so like overwhelmed and feel like so overpowered from this song that I can't like do anything with it. I just need to feel that empowerment.
It does sound like it would be so satisfying to sing that part.
It sounds so satisfying.
But when you actually go to do it during the song, it just like it doesn't feel like it can compare or keep
up. Yeah, it can't compare it to them. And I love their voices with it too. And like you said, they're so synchronized when they sing.
Yeah, I love that drummer too.
Yeah.
It's really...
I just love the feeling of this, the feeling that this song gives me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I love their energy.
I bet there were a lot of people, like, moving along to that.
Yeah. And I've listened to it before with, like, the animated graphics, so that might change my interpretation a little bit.
Mm.
And I've seen it with the subtitles before, like, I've read the meaning before, but I don't remember it.
Mm.
I just remember it was like an uplifting kind of song, like go after your dreams kind of song.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah. I don't think I've attempted to sing along with it in the English, with English words, like I do with other songs, because this one is just, I just love the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't tamper with it at all. It's just perfect the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Good choice.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about, we brought this up on the last show, but we didn't really have time to talk about it. The feeling of when you hear something that just sounds like noise.
Right.
Like when you hear a new song or a new artist or a new genre even for the first time. And it just sounds like a wall of noise coming at you. And a lot of people will tell me that, like, if they listen to certain genres, it just sounds like noise to them.
Yeah. To me, that is heavy metal music.
Right, yeah.
That's not to say it's bad or that I'm discrediting it or I'm pushing it down or stepping on it or anything harmful. It's just that I don't find it appealing. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the sound of heavy metal music.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing about it that really, like, that you latch on to.
Yeah, there's nothing that resonates with me. To me, it's just noise.
Right.
And that's very, that's a pretty big diss. But to me, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like noise.
I think that's very natural. Like, I think that's how we interpret everything the first time we hear it. we're just used to, like, we've gotten used to it with certain things. Mm-hmm. So my, like, what I like to tell people whenever they tell me that it just sounds like noise is like, oh yeah, that's fine. Like, everything does sound like noise. But the more you listen to it and the more deeply you, like, sort of pay attention to it, the more you start to pick out different elements. Mm-hmm. And it's this crazy sensation where, like, what presents itself first as a wall of noise begins, like, you start to hear more definition to it, or you, like, different parts sort of reveal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen the first time you hear it.
Right. I don't completely agree with that.
Okay.
I feel like when there are some songs, when you listen to it, you just love it instantly. You just love the noise of it. Like this song, when I first heard it, I just like fell in love with the song.
Right.
But then, so I don't completely agree with that notion that everything is just noise when you first hear it. I feel like what you hear as noise is what you dislike, what doesn't resonate with you. It's not that everything is noise. What you do like and appreciate doesn't, like, if you like the genre of, let's say you liked heavy metal,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to a new song of heavy metal, would you think of it as noise the first time you heard it? I don't think so.
No.
You would like it somewhat because it's a genre you like. So
right.
It's not completely noise.
But by that logic, like, wouldn't you say that you like that last track because you've heard similar music before that you really got into?
You could say that also.
Hmm.
So maybe it's noise is sounds that you haven't heard before.
Right, or things that are, like, immediately displeasing.
Yeah, or, yeah, immediately displeasing to you.
Hmm. Speaking of noise and immediately displeasing, the next track that I have to play is...
Is it a heavy metal song?
Well, I wouldn't call it heavy metal, but it's definitely heavy.
Okay.
And this is something that I think definitely could sound like noise, and people have told me it sounded like noise the first time they heard it. This is by a band from Nanaimo called Flatbed, and this just came to the station. I'm going to play a track. It's the title track of their new album, Drug Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a very hardcore band, but I really admire the way that they play and the way that they kind of unapologetically just, like, make their hellish noise.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's take a listen and tell me what you think at the end of this.
Sounded like noise to me.
Yeah, I kind of thought
there were at, like, moments where it kind of sounded like music, which is horrible to say, but it's just how I feel. I can't help it. But there are moments where it sounded like music and like something I could connect to. Like when they kind of went, they had like this kind of, I don't know what to call it. I don't know, like, the musical term for it.
Sure.
But there are parts where they play, like, the same kind of rhythm. Or where they were, like, I think it was the guitar. It was, like, dun-dun, dun-dun. Yeah, that part. But most, there's, like, this, like, weird, like, high frequency in the background. Like, when you watch, like, one of, like, those Transformer movies where they're, like, they have to, like, communicate through a radio, and when they first turn it on, it makes that, like, sound.
Yeah, screechy, static sound.
Yeah, it was, like, that was, like, happening at, like, different... It was, like, they were playing with the radio in the background.
Mm-hmm. Just, for the record, I don't know any of the proper terms either, and when I even, like, make music with people, I just say, like, dun-dun. I'll just communicate it that way.
I think for like I feel like music needs to have some coherence to it. It needs to have some consistency to it. It needs like an underlying constant noise to like it's hard to explain. I don't know why it needs that. I just feel like if a song doesn't have that, if it's just like random noises kind of put together, it doesn't sound right. Like when it's kind of similar to when you hear a person's voice. Sometimes their voice can be different depending on like how they speak and like if they're angry or emotional or sad, but you can still tell if it's their voice. It's kind of like that. It needs to have a song needs to have like that consistency throughout it. And if it doesn't, it sounds like just random noises put together.
Right, yeah. When I first saw them play live, Flatbed, I thought that they were just improvising everything and that it was just like a kind of free, open jam
where they were just sort of... I imagine that thought was definitely put into this song and it. And they thought like, okay, maybe we could try this, maybe we can try this.
Well, apparently, when I talked to them about it, they were like, oh, no, like, everything. And once I kind of, like, listened to the music more and more, I realized that everything is written or at least partially written, and they all, like, they practice these songs and they practice them the same way. So they are all, like, everybody in the band that's making what just sounds like noise is, like, putting their fingers to an instrument and consciously making those noises. Which is interesting to think about, I think, just like...
It doesn't sound like it.
No, it doesn't at all.
It does sound to be somewhat improvised. But, of course, they would need, like, that kind of, like, planned out beforehand. But it doesn't... I guess that's another part of a song. It needs to feel planned to some degree.
I think it's... I honestly think if the more you listen to these tracks, the more you will hear little moments throughout the songs in which they are all synchronizing and they are all, like, taking cues from one another.
I bet it would be like, if I listened to this song more intently and more, like, really, like, listen to it, like, on repeat, I would find it. And maybe eventually I would like it. But
it's not really fair just showing it to you for the first time.
I know.
And then asking
but, like,
your
this is the first time I've heard this song. I never heard of it before this. And so... I don't know, I feel like if you listen to something over time, you have new insights, you have new appreciations for it. Like if you watch a movie, you see something you didn't see before, or you notice something you didn't see before, or you see it differently than you used to before. Like if you watch a movie and then something happens in your life and then you suddenly connect to the movie, like, oh my gosh, this is like what happened to me.
I rewatch movies all the time. Certain movies.
So do I. There's a few that I kind of always rewatch. Like, okay, let's name some. Jerry Maguire is one that I kind of always go back to.
Interesting.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh yeah.
Love Actually, I always, around Christmas time, I always rewatch that. And I always, like, notice new things in it. I'm sure there's others.
One that I've watched, I think the movie I've watched most in my life is Muppet Treasure Island.
Nothing, yes, you said.
I've watched it since I was a kid, and I still find it really entertaining and funny and just great. Tim Curry's in it.
I don't know who that is.
I'm a fan.
I thought you said Steph Curry for a second. What else? I think Spotlight. I watched that a few times.
I don't know that one.
It was a film about sexual abuse in the church. And these journalists kind of at the Boston Globe uncovering it by doing investigative journalism.
And so is it a real life story that they made?
It is. It's based on true events.
Right.
Of course, they kind of changed it a bit to make it, you know, more of a film.
I bet that would be an interesting film to watch at different times in your life. Like, when you've learned more and more about, like, Just like your life would inform that topic more and more. Yeah, it's interesting that we have some films that we just watch over and over again.
Yeah, there's some that, some of them I just kind of like watch over. Like, mm-hmm. When I'm going to eat something, I kind of like to have something to watch. So maybe I'll, or even just a show. Like, there are shows that you just like, for me, it's like How I Met Your Mother, Friends, things like that. Things that like aren't very heavy and I don't have mm-hmm. to pay like real close attention to. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things I just like to watch when I'm eating something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would go back to a movie and I just watch like one part.
Right.
One part that I just really liked. Like this one scene, there's just something about it that I like about it.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like in Jerry Maguire, there's a few parts that I always go back to. It's like there's the ending scene where she says, you had me at hello, that like famous line, and mm-hmm. you complete me and all that. I always go back to that scene.
Right.
There's others in there that I always kind of go back to. Like, I don't think I actually watched the whole film. I just kind of skip through the film to the parts that I, for some reason, like to watch.
Mm-hmm. Those are really emotional scenes.
Yeah. I feel like, I usually rewatch emotional scenes.
Yeah. Like the sort of emotional climaxes of the movie.
Yeah, I guess, those parts. Yeah. Though, of course, there are sometimes those, like, mundane ones where, like, the actor just said something a certain way that just gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever have that where someone just says something a certain way and it just like hits something for you?
Oh yeah, and I get that with music all the time. Mm-hmm. Like somebody will play a note on the guitar that just seems to like hit me really deeply.
Yeah, for me it's usually a person's voice that does it. Like that song that I played, like there's certain parts of it, like their voice, that person's voice, that certain parts just like hits me. Mm-hmm. There's something about it.
Well, I have one more track that I really want to play. If you don't mind.
Yes.
This is by Kim Fatale, also known as Penelope Parker, who works at a Redgate and who I've talked about on the show before, who is a really great recording artist and a really great performer. So they go by Kim Fatale. They have a band camp. This is from an album called Transsexual Icon. And it's a song called Systemic Collapse. Enjoy.
Ashamed of my heterosexuality.
Oh. fuck with me, okay?
That was Kim Fatale from the album Transsexual Icon. And you're listening to Chaotic Music Meetings with Neetu Da and Miles Black today. Neetu, thank you again so much for being here, taking time out of your stressful schedule. I know you've had a stressful month.
I have, yes. Below, like many people.
Yeah.
Very stressful.
It's going around. What do you do for self-care when you're feeling stressed out? How do you take care of yourself? Make yourself feel good?
Different ways.
Yeah.
There's music. There's music, watching, scenes of, films or movies or YouTube clips or things like that, which just kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or just kind of just calming myself down. Like, I feel like I think of things in a hardworking kind of way. It's hard to explain. When I think of something, it's in a stressful way. Like, I need to get this done, I need to get this done. I need to be, the most hardworking person ever.
Mm-hmm.
And just spend all of my time just doing this and this and that and that. And then the way I try to relax is through video games, I think, mostly. There are times in the day where I just, on the weekend, this one day I devote, it's just nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to think of anything that has to do with school and exams and essays and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They might come to mind. I might think, I can connect this to that essay, or I might think of things for my show and whatnot.
Sure.
But I just spend the day, relaxing. Just playing a video game, or maybe watching an anime, or hanging out with my brothers or family, or
commitments.
Yeah, just no commitments, no timelines in my head, because I feel like that's what I always have in my head. I think most students have it. Mm-hmm. They have this timeline in their head, okay, I have this, do this, this day, this, do this day. I need to do this before then, and planning all this out. And then while you're doing that, I always make changes to the initial timeline, because sometimes I just need to get sleep. I'm just really tired, or I feel sick, or... And then there's changes to it, and then you feel like, okay, maybe I could, do this a little later. You start procrastinating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do self-care with so much going on. You kind of avoid self-care and just okay, I just need it. Let's just focus on this. Let's not even think about myself. Let's just do this and finish this.
Yeah, whenever I get stressed out and there's, a heavy workload, self-care always gets pushed to the side.
I feel like I sometimes define myself by my grades. Mm. And I feel like my grades sometimes become, self-care. If I did well, okay, I think well of myself.
Right.
But if I didn't do well, then I beat myself down a little bit.
That's tough.
I feel like my grades are okay. They're good for university, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I'm usually, in the A-minus kind of range. I'm always stuck.
That's real good.
I'm always stuck there. It's hard for me to go above 84%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be the curve, because professors curve your grade.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who are above that, even despite the curve. And I want to try to get higher up. So I hate it when I get a lower grade than that.
Mm.
And then I don't feel satisfied with the A-minus, even though I feel like that's pretty good for university, an A-minus.
I think that's great for university.
That's pretty good.
But you want to climb up into the upper echelon.
Yeah, I want to go there. There are other students who are higher, so why can't I make it higher? What is keeping me back?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is something that's always kind of going on in my head. How can I be higher? Why aren't I higher? How do I get higher?
Mm.
What's holding me back?
Mm-hmm.
But then what always comes to my head is that saying, there's always someone better. There's always someone stronger and better than you. But it always bothers me that I'm not even improving that much. I'm at the same level.
I don't know. I think, like, academically your score is staying at the same level, but I think you're improving all the time.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel I'm defining myself by my grades, and I don't like that.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I don't like that I'm doing that, but I can't help it because grades are such a big thing about school.
Yeah.
And you can't help define yourself by it.
Yeah, so much of your focus is on grades.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I wish you luck. I know that you're doing a great job.
I'm really not.
I know that you're learning.
I'm really not. I'm procrastinating way too much. I'm putting things off because I feel so stressed. And then I feel like, okay, I feel stressed. It's hard for me to do this assignment right now because I'm stressed. And I can't focus on it properly. And I'm just thinking through things too hard. I'm not focusing on, like, the assignment and what needs to be done. So I'm like, okay, I just need to relax a little bit. I just need to, like, listen to a song. I just need to watch, like, some sort of clip, some sort of maybe YouTube clip, like watch some Ellen or some or something like that, or an anime for a second, or my favorite parts of an anime or something like that. Something just, like, calm me down. Like, this isn't that important.
Disengage from the
stress. Disengage and kind of, like, reorganize my head to think, like, this isn't something you should obsess over.
Right.
This isn't something so important. For the back of my head, I'm always thinking, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's so hard to get there.
Yeah. I'm having trouble with my mental health.
Yeah.
Like many people.
Yeah. And it's the change of weather. It's the, like, sudden, like, you know, it's
there's so many factors. Like, there's the change in weather, those daylight savings times. There's always, it's so dark now. And I live in a basement suite and there's no window. So it's always so dark in there. And I don't like being here on campus to study because then I feel like, okay, then I have to go back there later. It's just a weird, I guess I'm kind of like a homebody. Like, if I don't have to leave the house, I'll just stay there. And, like, if I have to do something in that day, I have to do it, like, in the morning. Like, I have to do it before I do anything else. And if I'm, like, doing things at home, but I have to do something later on in the day, I'm just going to keep thinking about that. Like, okay, I have to go and do that later. And I just can't be, like, focused on what I'm doing. I'm just going to be thinking about, okay, the route I take there and whatnot. But if I'm just there and I know, like, I don't have to go anywhere, I just, after this, I go to sleep and wake up the next day and do whatever I do the next day, it's easier to focus for me that way. Like, if I'm here at school, I just keep thinking about the way back home.
Right. So it really matters, like, where you are and where you're spending your time and where you choose to relax.
Yeah. Well, there's all these little factors that I think contribute, but at the same time, I feel like, why do they contribute? Why can't I just focus? Why can't I just overcome this?
I know. It sometimes feels like your brain is working against you or just not working with you as much as it could.
Yes. It's a mental battle.
Yeah.
It's a battle I hate. And I feel like I'm just behind in everything. Like, I have a paper due on the 20th, and then I have another one on the 23rd. And then I have this 15-page paper, which is worth 50% of my grade for one of my classes. And throughout the year, I haven't been able to really get to it because of other assignments and an application to a program. And I just haven't been able. Over time, I kind of thought about it, and I know, like, what I'm going to write, but I never actually, like, properly did anything for it. And now I'm, like, down to the wire, and I need to get this done.
Right. Oof.
I hate it when that happens. But then it's hard to, like, I know that the best way to, like, study and do things is to do it slowly over time. Like, to not, like, cram the night before an exam and whatnot. But it's difficult to do that.
No, and procrastinating is the way that I do a lot of things, too. Like,
I want to break out of these habits, but it's hard. Sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm just going to, like, sometimes I'm just really determined. Like, I'm just going to get through this. Like, I'm just not going to procrastinate. That's just how it's going to go today. I'm just, and forever on after that, I'm just going to be hardworking. All my time is just going to be reading this article, reading that article, writing this essay, doing that, and then just sleep. And that's it. That's all I'm going to do. That's my entire focus.
How does that go when you try
it
that
It doesn't
out?
Go well.
Oh, no.
Because I try to do that, but then something... But then I just, then I feel just really, I just feel really tired lately.
Yeah.
And I just feel really tired or something happens in class, like something that was mentioned before, but for some reason I don't understand it now or missed it. Or something small, like I made like a little mistake that, well, I think of it as a mistake, but maybe it's not. It's just like, I just, like, if there's class but I don't participate, for some reason, I think of that as a mistake. Right. I feel like that's a failure on me because I can't because I'm not participating.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm defining myself by all these little things, and that's probably not what I should do.
And it's, you do need, like, to give yourself a break just to step back from that and to get more perspective on yourself. And,
but
like,
I feel like I do that too much.
Yeah.
What happens is that, like, I feel like, I like my grades are good. They're okay. They're good. Like, A minus. They're like the A minus kind of a range. But then I'm not always, like, keeping up with all the readings. Sometimes I don't read the readings because I focus on other things, trying to do, like, self-care and take care of myself. And then over the weekend, I'm just at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, before the weekend starts, I always think, like, okay, I'm just going to get all of this done over the weekend. But then I get there, I see my brothers, I see all my video games and all the PlayStations are there. And I just,
all,
like,
the stuff that helps you get through life.
so I'm there and I just, you know, I, you know, watch a movie with them. I play a video game with them, like, on the first day. And then I think, okay, just the one day I always planned for just freedom, just, like, calming down, like a day of self-care.
Yeah.
But then the subsequent days just become, like, I just started thinking, okay, it's fine if I do that today too, and then I'll be fine. Like, I'll be able to get it done. That just kept happening. Mm-hmm. I just kept procrastinating, and I haven't used my weekends productively.
I think it changes as you go through life too. Like, your sort of routine or what's comfortable for you and what helps you get work done keeps changing. So you have to keep paying attention to it. Does it help at all just to come on the radio and vent about it?
It does.
Yeah.
It's because I'm always thinking about it in my head. I don't have anybody I can kind of like I don't have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. I've never had friends before. I've had acquaintances. Mm-hmm. I've had classmates, sure. But not like a friend who was always there, who I felt comfortable, like, I can just tell them everything. Like, if I need to talk to someone, they're like a therapist who's also a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that before. So I've always had to just figure it out for myself.
Yeah.
And it used to be easy. Like, in high school and whatnot, it was just easy to kind of just do it myself. I felt like in high school, I was very confident. I was just very so comfortable with myself, and I was just felt just so good about everything. And then university, things changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things became harder, things were different.
It's a lot of work being at university. Yeah. Like, the workload is really stressful.
And I feel like that isn't, what's the word, isn't addressed as much as it should be.
Mm.
Like, every professor always says, like, you need to read this. You need to read that. You should do this. You should do that. Like, okay, these are good tips and whatnot, but practically it's unlikely that any of us could do that.
Mm.
And I feel like they don't address that. They give me, like, this this narrative that I can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make it feel that way, but really it's not like that.
Well, they make it feel like anyone should be able to do this very particular
set
of things.
Exactly. And then it makes me feel like a failure, like I can't do that.
Well, you're not a failure. You're just not perfectly attuned to that exact system.
I know. All of this is just, this is what's going in my head lately. This is everything that's in my head. I've just let it all out.
Get it out.
I've let it all out on the table. And thank you for letting me do that.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure there's a lot of students here at UBC who find this very relatable.
But then again, I don't know because I don't talk with them.
Right.
Like, I talk with my classmates, of course, but it's always the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you? Like, oh, we have a long weekend this time around. Or, you know, how we have this assignment, we have a guest speaker today.
Mm-hmm.
It's always things like that. It's never personal things.
No.
You can never even go deep into any conversation because it's just at the beginning of the class. You only have, like, 2 to 3 minutes. And how much can you really talk in 2 to 3 minutes to really, like, get everything out? You can't.
Yeah.
And then when class ends, you got to go to the next class. And then once your last class ends, like, you need to get something to eat. You need to, like, you know, do, like, the necessary basics that you need to live and survive. Mm-hmm. You need to go home. You need to shower. You need to
do laundry.
Yeah, laundry. You have to do all these things.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This is something I'm going to talk on my show. Everything you need to do, but can't.
Right. That's a great episode.
Yeah. This is, I've been planning for this episode.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah. I look forward to it. It's going to be like a venting. It's going to be a beautiful venting out. A beautiful ventilation.
Going beautiful out. Ventilation. Yes. That'll be on CC, Convictions and yes. Contradictions.
I feel bad. This show is more about other things besides instrumental music.
This is exactly what I wanted. We played instrumental tracks and we let the conversation go wherever it went. I feel good about it.
So do I. Though I feel like I dominated the conversation too much.
That's what I wanted too. You're the guest.
Well, I'm glad then.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to play one last track to close off this episode. This is by Link Ray, because last night CITR and FilmSoc put on this film screening here at the studio. Laura Beaudry, who's the Indigenous liaison to CITR, has been putting together these Indigenous film nights. And they played this movie called Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World, like a music documentary about Indigenous artists in rock. And it was so great. It was so beautiful and Link Ray is primarily an instrumental musician who developed his own guitar sound at a time when like rock and roll just wasn't a thing. He's one of the first pioneers of rock and roll music and of like guitar distortion and like experimenting in amp sounds. Mm-hmm. So this is a track called Pancho Villa by Link Ray. Thank you so much for listening in.
Thank you, Miles.
Thank you, Neetu. I'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure we will eventually.
Have a good day, everybody.
Season, you're invited to the first annual presentation of the Minties, Mint Records Award Show and Mandatory Holiday Function. On Saturday, December 1st, dust off your cummerbund and diamonds and point your limo in the direction of the opulent ballroom of the Astoria Hotel at 769 East Hastings. The night will be a non-stop display of glitz and glamour, hosted by the legendary Ben Lye. You'll be rubbing elbows and watching sets from the biggest stars of Team Mint, including Dumb, Woolworm, Faith Healer, Liay, Needles and Pins, Energy Slime, Calarissa, and special guests, Necky. Tickets are on sale now at Red Cat Records and Neptune Records. Ta-ta!